Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of the hosts do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the BAIO, the Black African Infrastructure Organization.
Do you believe in the concept of an independent diaspora nation state for the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, the biggest crime in the history of humanity? Are you tired of Black African people being scattered across a diaspora, living as second and third class citizens in foreign lands? Should Black African people have their own Israel? If you believe and support any of these positions, check out the BAIO social network on Ming. People with various thoughts and opinions on reality coming together with like mind toward a singular goal and common denominator, land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Visit BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. That's BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. Black African power and a Bibi Fahodiye. Total African liberation. Peace.
Is this what you want to be, their entertainment, their playthings? Their pets? Cowering beneath a whip. And then fighting amongst ourselves. Is this what you want?
I've lived by their rules my entire life. I've protected them. Envied them. And for what? To be treated like an animal.
We are not animals! We do have a choice! We can choose to be more than this! We can be slaves! Or we can be!
You are now listening to 13 Revolution on the BAIO Radio. Here is your host, Minister Dawood Mohammed.
So, I'm just getting in the house, and I see this article by Black Girl Long Hair, or something like that, .com, and they're talking about this ESPN analysis, Sage something, I forgot her name already, but when I see light-skinned Black folk fucking things up for everybody as chairperson of the Light-Skinned Black Folk Committee, I feel like it's my obligation to say something, and I have to say something. So let me give you a synopsis of what she said. Basically, she is mixed race. She's biracial. Hi, love. Hi, Amelia. Hey, everybody. She's a mixed race person. She said her dad was Black and her mom was white. And she said instead of calling her father a sellout or a coon, we should be congratulating her mother on her bravery. She said that a white woman dating, marrying, having children with a Black man, the white woman should be congratulated on her bravery. I'm just going to save that for the end, right? Then she goes on to say, well, instead of seeing me with my light skin and my, quote, good hair and how I speak, how I dress, instead of judging me off of my very light-skinned children and my white husband, you really should be basically giving thanks to my husband for his bravery for loving me, a biracial woman. Let me tell you something. This is what the fuck I be talking about with light-skinned people and how they make us look bad, how they make the rest of us look bad, how they fuck it up for all of us as a whole. Okay, first of all, I don't want any one of y'all to fall for that woe is me, okay, I've got light skin and people judge me. Yes, it happens. Yes, we are victims of colorism on both sides. Yes, we are. It happens. But the fact is, we have still have light skin privilege, and we are still privileged off of this skin. We are still privileged off of this good hair. We are still privileged off of these green eyes. So I don't want to hear you fucking crying about how hard it is to be with your white man. I don't want to hear that shit. You sound really pathetic and stupid right now because, of course, you are forgetting your own history. You're biracial and you're claiming black, but you are forgetting your own history of how a 13-year-old white boy, a 13-year-old black boy from Chicago got his penis taken off and stuffed in his mouth and thrown in a river for false accusations of even looking at a white woman. And you want to say somebody needs to give some thanks to your fucking mammy for loving BBC? Are you out of your fucking mind? Are you crazy? Please do not give light-skinned folk a fucking pass, because quiet as it's kept, a lot of time the only reason why we are put in positions of power is this light skin and this good hair and these green eyes. So if you want to fucking write an article, how about you write an article about colorism in general? Why don't you write an article about why you really have your job? Because you can emulate a white tone, because you can emulate white inflection. You may be able to run it past them, but I know the works. I know the ins and outs, and I know what's up. I know how people treat us in corporate. And I know why we get through a lot of the time, because there's a quota. And if they need to hire a black person, they may as well hire the lightest one that they can get. You ain't fooling nobody. Then you want us to give a hats off to your husband because he likes black Yanni? Of course he does. Okay, and of all the things that you could talk about, of all the things that you could use your platform to bring attention to, you choose to talk about yourself. You choose to talk about yourself. So I've been talking about white centering all week. I've been talking about these white folks with their fucking safety pins and being upset and fucking crybabies over Donald Trump winning the election and making it all about them and not the fact that racism won and hatred won. We got this motherfucking high yellow goose, yellow belly broad up here wanting to give her husband a pat on the back for being a white man and getting everything he wants as usual. Boo fucking who? Boo who? Instead of using your platform to say, man, I married this white man. Okay, that was your choice to marry a white man. You fell in love with a white man and you had children by a white man. Okay, so if you aren't what these people are calling you, if you aren't a turncoat, if you aren't an Uncle Tom, if you aren't a coon, what the fuck are you doing for your people? Crickets, what are you, how are you using your platform to advance your people? Sage, sugar, honey. You on ESPN, which is a white man's world, run by white men. All the majority of the people that you see, they'll throw an ex-NBA, NFL player on the scene every now and again. And other than that, it's blonde white women, 105-pound white women who probably don't know a goddamn thing about sports. And you got on for affirmative action. So what are you doing? The antithesis of being a coon, of being a turncoat. What are you doing? What you did was, or what you tried to do, was blame your people. You tried to throw your people under the bus. You got mad at your people because they read the fucking filth out of you, and they were right.
Right.
They were right. Because instead of whining about how hard it is to have light skin and how hard it is to have green fucking eyes and good hair, how hard it is, what a struggle you have trying to prove your blackness with even more mixed children, with quadroon children. Oh, instead of you doing that, you could have used your platform to actually help your people. Bitch, you are a coon. Fuck out of here.
Ha, 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 ha. Assalamu alaikum, Hotep, peace, shalom, Islam, Black African power. It's your host once again, Brother Minister Daoud, bringing the 13 Revolution Experience to BAIO Radio. If you don't know, now you know. If you haven't heard, if you haven't seen, if you don't know, I and my brother, fellow brothers and sisters, we together have come together as black men, black women, black child on a universal concept that stretches over all of our belief systems, ideologies, that trumps everything. It can all be encapsulated in three words and one question. Land, infrastructure, nationhood, question being, what is the end game? I'm so grateful to Allah to be back here. I'm so grateful to Allah to be here today. I know, brothers and sisters, that I promised you 5 o'clock on Sunday yesterday. I went through some rough times this weekend with some stuff that I went through. I really don't feel like getting into it, but it was something that I had to deal with, overcome. And yesterday, you know what I'm saying, was a little bit of time of reflection. I took some time to re-engineer certain things here. And, you know, as I always say, you can't rush art, but I don't want that to be an excuse. I want to be able to ship this art. But at the same time, brothers and sisters, I'm pretty sure you will be pleased with the product, and you will forget that it was one day late. Before we get started, brothers and sisters, as I always say and always try to explain to you, BAIO stands for Black African Infrastructure Organization. We are a collective of men and women who want an independent nation for black people off the shores of America. And we want satellite communities all over the country, but specifically in the country of America. I need to say that again. We want an independent nation for black people off the shores of America. Okay? Off the shores, out of the jurisdiction, out of the control, independent. And we want satellite communities here, just like Israel, just like China, just like Italy, just like all of the places that have a little little Chinatown, little Italy, you know what I mean, little Russia, like in Brighton Beach. That's what we want, but we understand that there can be no Chinatown without China itself. There can be no little Italy without Italy itself. There can be no Jewish community, no Jewish-Russian community without an Israel or a Russia, and so therefore we understand that if that model is successful for others, it should be successful for us. This does not exclude you, brothers and sisters, who want to do it right here. If you think that you want to do whatever you want to do right here, what you don't understand is you still come under the BAIO umbrella because we still want to have satellite communities here. But where you and I differ, where we have always differed, is the host nation, the headquarters, the place that we call mother and home has to be off the shores of America for very obvious reasons. And so when I ask the question, what is the end game? The question, what is the end game, basically is a question that is presented to you so you could look at that if you're involved in any organization or any movement, and your end game is not clear. In other words, your goal is not clear. Your ultimate aim is not clear. You can go on forever and continue to do such and such a work. It's never ending. It's like the sky just continues to go on and on. And your end result is not having total independence, control, and autonomy for black people. Then we at the BAIO feel that you are wasting your time and that you need to come and begin to learn some things from us. So anyway, brothers and sisters, I'm so grateful to Allah to be here. I don't have to apologize for a layoff because I just did a show last week. Didn't really hit it like I wanted to. I think that I got the point across. I'm probably going to do a part two to that. But this particular show to me is near and dear to my heart because it's going to – I really want to take a different take. You know what I mean? So let me read the monologue to you. Let's get on with it. Get on here. Sage Steele, ESPN personality and NBA analyst, recently came under fire for many different comments against blacks, of whom she is half of. The clapback has been enormous, especially since she has got let go from multiple NBA projects for a blonde-haired white woman. the easy thing to do is to jump on the bandwagon and add to the running jokes. If you're a nationalist, have you considered that this kind of behavior and thinking is prevalent amongst the average black person? I think I need to ask that again. If you're a nationalist, have you considered that this kind of behavior and thinking is prevalent amongst the average black person? Is there a Sage Steele-style coon preventing us from obtaining land? Is there a Sage Steele-style coon preventing us from building infrastructure? Finally, does the Sage Steele mentality prevent us from truly craving nationhood? I'm going to make this chick wish her government name was not remotely close to mine. Okay, let's get on down, brothers and sisters, because we don't really have much time. I want to do an hour. I want to get on out of here. Sage Steele. Sage Steele being a black woman. Sage Steele being a black woman that is quote-unquote biracial. Sage Steele being a black woman that had one black parent and one white parent. What are we looking at, brothers and sisters? When you get upset with her for quote-unquote being a coon, for quote-unquote being a sellout and Uncle Tom and an embarrassment, what are you looking at? Okay? What was your expectations? What exactly were your hopes and aspirations for a woman like Sage? Well, in order for us to do that, first we got to really draw a very clear picture of her background, her upbringing, her lineage, and her genetics. And then we can ask, do we really have the right to be as upset as we are, and should we be focusing on that? Okay? So let's talk about the background. All right? First of all, having a black parent, having a white parent. And generally, if you look at Sage, you hear how she talks, you hear the kind of stuff that she says, then you can understand that more likely than not, she grew up in the suburbs. She grew up in a suburb kind of environment. And in that suburb kind of environment, we can make some assumptions, can't we? The first assumption that we can make is that Sage was a young black girl that grew up with predominantly white girls, right or wrong. Right or wrong, predominantly white girls. Knowing this and understanding this, then we know that what you like as a person in the movement, what you aspire to, I'm speaking to the sisters now for a second, but what you aspire to in the movement, what you aspire to as a young person, the songs that you shared, the dances that you shared, the games that you played, the way you played double dutch, the way that you wore your sneakers, the way that you wore your hair, the way that you wore your dress, the things that you saw and talked about when you were 10, 12, 13, 14, as a young girl in the ghetto, do you think that Sage Steele shared those same things? Do you think she spoke in such manner and talked about those things? And if you brought it up to her or somebody like her, do you think that she would be able to relate to your conversation in any way, shape, or form, relate to your struggles? When you post memes on Facebook and you say things like, if you grew up in a black household, your mom said this. When you got in trouble, your dad said that. Do you think that the answer to what those questions were would be the same for you as they were for Sage Steele? I'm just asking questions today, brothers and sisters. I'm just throwing out context. Because when we begin to put these kind of expectations and aspirations on people who didn't grow up like us, don't think like us, culture as us, don't have the same background as us, and we spend a whole lot of time getting angry about it, it distracts you and I from land, infrastructure, nationhood, black power, metaphysics, spirituality, all the things that you and I hold dear as a person of higher consciousness, then you have to stop for a second. And you have to ask yourself, is this person worth the energy that I'm giving this person? And if they're not worth the energy that I'm giving this person, is that person a fool? Or am I the fool? I want you to think about that for a second. I really do. Because I really, you know what I'm saying? I'm not criticizing the words said by my extremely beautiful sister, China Fox, that I played the clip from earlier. And if you like what you heard, you can find her on YouTube. You can subscribe to her channel. I'm subscribed. A lot of my friends are. Very, very intelligent sister. very beautiful sister, very well-spoken, you understand, obviously not afraid of the camera. And so there, be that as it may, you know what I'm saying, I agree with her on a lot of different things. She said some things I don't agree with her on. But that's irrelevant. The fact of the matter is that I always want to go in a different direction. I always want to give you a deeper understanding or a deeper look at the subject that everybody is talking on. Because nowadays with social media, a subject comes up and we toss it around like a rag doll or a hot potato, and that means that we generally don't get to really look in it too deep. And so because we don't get to look in it deep enough, I think that we rob ourselves of the very valuable things that we could learn from these subjects, because we pass it around, then we move on to the next thing. I, Brother Minister Dalwood, I'm not having that. I see something, I don't care how old it is, I don't care how played out it is, I want to talk about it, I want to develop it, and most of all, I want to dive into it. And so I'm reading this book, and this book is called Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mom. And whether I agree with this Chinese woman's thoughts and philosophies about how to raise children or not is really irrelevant. There's some things I do agree with. There's some things I don't agree with. Being a man raised up, you know, by a single mom, and, you know, a single mom who had relatively Judeo-Christian values, and then coming into the Nation of Islam paradigm and construct, which is a lot more conservative and strict than Judeo-Christian household, believe it or not, there's some things that I do agree with. But then there's some things I don't agree with. But here's the one thing that, you know, I'm going to read certain books, I'm going to listen to certain things just to expand my horizons anyway, but here's the one thing I want you to look at. In this book called Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mom by a woman named Amy Chua, she talks about the difference between the way children are raised in China and certain other countries, such as Israel, Nigeria, and places like that. And then she talks about the way children are raised in America. And what she tries to do is she tries to draw a sort of like a parallel and sort of distances the Eastern families from the Western families in the way of discipline, in the way of treatment, and really in the way of achievement. And, you know, that's a discussion for another time, brothers and sisters, because I think that's germane to nationhood. But what I want to point out and highlight about this book that really got to me is this. In the book, Amy Chua talks about the three generations of Chinese people that come over here. And the first generation, they say, are very strict, very cheap, very conservative, only marry within their race, make sure that they save every penny, pay totally for their children's education, blah, 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 blah. Then you get the second generation. The second generation, they say, and this is exactly her words, not mine, she said, invariably the women from the second generation are going to, and the men, are going to marry somebody white. You don't believe me? Go get the book. She said, and as they do that, then they become a little bit more frivolous with their money. However, they, in addition to that, they raise their children with a lot more freedom, but at the same time still try to enforce the discipline on them. Then she says by the third generation, the whole Chinese discipline and culture is gone. Now, you listen to me, brothers and sisters, because this is a broad topic that we're going to have today. And damn, can I really cover this in a whole hour? But in this particular book, which is fascinating to me, the one thing she talks about is that she ends up, true to her analysis, she has a second-generation Chinese person. She marries a white Jewish man who is a lawyer, and they both decide that the best upbringing and the best raising for that child was a Chinese upbringing, because it would be more disciplined, it would be more focused, and it would be better for that child's achievement. Do you hear what I'm saying here? Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. So let me try to come down a little bit more. And I'm not trying to be condescending, because I really want you to get this message. What I'm trying to say to you today is that if you're a black woman or you're a black man and you marry into a quote-unquote white man's culture and family, which culture do you think is going to be dominant? Do you think it's going to be the black culture? Or do you think it's going to be invariably the white culture? I'm going to go with option B. And so therefore, not saying that I would, not saying that I want it, not saying that I would ever do that. But I'm saying that's usually what goes down. And because that's what usually goes down, that child that is raised or those children that is raised as a result of that union, they, those children, brothers and sisters, absolutely, positively do not get any of the same thing that you wanted. They wouldn't know what LL Jingling Baby and Around the Way Girl is. They wouldn't know that hip-hop started out on something on a UHF channel on a video, basically show called Video Music Box that was headed by a dude named DJ Ralph McDaniels. They wouldn't know how to play Skelly. They wouldn't know none of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't know that sisters in the 80s used to wear these shoes called jellies. They wouldn't know none of that. They wouldn't know. They wouldn't know. And if you played Double Just, they would be totally out of place. They wouldn't know. And you know why they wouldn't know? Because that's not their culture. That's not the culture that they're raised off of. They are taught to assimilate into Caucasian society and do the best they can to be like a Caucasian. And so, therefore, that experience produces a woman like Sage Steele. Period. Period. And so, here's the question again, just in case you missed everything I said just now. I hope my computer's not going to sleep because, you know, Blog Talk tends to do that to you and then you can't use many of your clips and said other things. And I did not open the chat room. I am terribly sorry. Let me take a pause to do that. Hold on a second, brothers and sisters. Chat room is live and in effect. Sorry about that, y'all. Holla Boys gets on me about that. Did you open the chat room, fam? That is my brother. I love the hell out of him. Anyway, so be that as it may, let's talk about this for a second, brothers and sisters. Let's talk about the black experience versus the white experience. Okay, let's talk about this. What environment are you raising a black child in compared to a white child? What kind of economics are you raising a black child in compared to a white child? What kind of family structure are you raising a child in a black family compared to a white family? And when you look at the parity between the two, when you look at the difference, the stark difference between the two, you got to ask yourself, are you really being sane by getting upset at a Sage Steele for making coon-type comments? Are you really rational in expecting her to be pro-black being raised in that particular paradigm? And let me make it very clear and closer to you. If you're from Brooklyn, Sage Steele would have been raised, and She Said Bay, Brighton Beach, Far Rockaway, you know what I'm saying? Or excuse me, Rockaway, not Far Rockaway, but Rockaway, near Howard Beach, Staten Island, you know what I'm saying? And places like Long Island and places like that, and not the hood of these places. If you're in Chicago, you know what I'm saying? You got places. If you're in California, you got places. Up here in the capital region, that child would have been raised in Saratoga, Gilderlin, Colony, Queensbury. He would not have been raised in Arbor Hill, Schenectady, Hamilton Hill, Troy, in the downtown area. She wouldn't have been raised over there. If you're in Jacksonville, Florida, she would have been raised. She would not have been raised on the north side. She would have been raised on the south side. And so, therefore, are you getting my drift, what I'm trying to tell you here? What I'm trying to say to you is, if you don't look at the background of the people that you guys are criticizing, then to me, you're wasting time blowing in the wind because you are criticizing and taking past people who really, in all reality, you are wasting your time with because they never would have understood from the first place. Boom. I mean, we're going to get a little further into this, brothers and sisters, but who do you think Sage's hero was when she grew up? Who do you think she was taught to have as a hero? Do you think it was Martin Luther King? Do you think it was Malcolm X? Do you think it was Booker T. Washington? Do you think it was Frederick Douglass? Do you think it was Harriet Tubman? Hell, do you think that Sage Steele admired Michelle Obama? Do you think? Because the answer would more likely than not be no. Do you think that Sage Steele read the autobiography of Coretta Scott King? Or do you think that maybe Sage Steele, if there's any black woman that she loved, was probably Condoleezza Rice? You see the picture I'm trying to draw for you? You look stupid now, coming out and superposting stuff about this woman, when in the reality of it is she never was born, made, or engineered to be down with us in the first place. Period, brothers and sisters. So if her hero was never, even half black or even culturally black. And she was not raised on black values, black culture, and had no earthly idea what it was. Because I'm pretty sure it was Faye's mother and her husband was a white man. Her father was a black man, her mother was a white woman. More likely than not, her father was doing everything he could to assimilate. I mean, every earthly thing he could. And so be that as it may, he did not want to teach her anything about blackness because people like that are trying to get the hell away from the black experience because they think it affects their money, they think it affects their ultimate, their upward mobility, they think it affects their social status. And if you are predominantly around them and you're not around your own, then what happens is, and you're gaining benefits from being around them and not around, you understand what I'm trying to say to you here? Think about it. In high school, what do you think the guys look like that her friends adored? You know what the sisters, you know what the dudes look like that y'all adored and y'all looked up to. And when you have a family reunion, if you have a fraternity reunion and all your high school mates are black or your college mates are black or whatever, and y'all get to talking about what dude was hot and where is he now, let me ask you something. Do you think that Sage steals? Do you think that Sage steals homegirls are going to say the same thing? Or are they going to talk about Biff? Are they going to talk about Larry? Are they going to talk about Jeff? Are they going to talk about, you know what I'm saying? They're going to talk about Rob, Ray, Gary. And so therefore, when you look at all of this, brothers and sisters, the reality of it is that you are wasting a lot of time on people who couldn't relate in the first place. Let me tell you this story, and then I'm going to go to a break. Back in the day, I had the unfortunate experience of being let go as a locksmith. I didn't really conform to what they were saying, and you know what I'm saying? It was what it was. I told the story many times. But I really don't want to get into it right now. But either way, when I got let go from being a locksmith, I ended up searching around for a job. It was during the session. It was 2005, so this was right during the housing bubble. So I eventually got a job at a lowly, telemarketing place in the mailroom. So in the mailroom, it was another brother, a black man, and it was a white dude that we worked with, okay? So the brother that I worked with, he was a guy that was raised in a military family. You military brothers and sisters, you know where I'm going with this, right? So when you're a military brat, what they call an army brat or a navy brat, then you know that if your father or mother is a career military person, then you get moved around the country all the time. And so be that as it may, you don't really get to make friends with black people like that. 9 times out of 10 when you move around, you're more around white children than black children. Let's keep it 100. And so this is a guy that was starving for black culture and black history. And being around me was a boon for him, even though I never revealed my identity to that much. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I remember when we ended up getting like a new crop of collectors, like bill collectors, because it was a bill collection firm. You know what I'm saying? That's what the telemarketing was. And, you know, we worked in the mailroom, so thank God we didn't have to be on the phone. But, you know, the telemarketing bill collector firm is a revolving door, and they're always getting a new crop of people because it's just stressful. It's a horrible job. Think about how many times you hung up on a telemarketer. That's somebody's job, B. So anyway, to make a long story short, there was a new crop of sisters. They was from the local college. They was 1,000% beautiful. And there was a big rage amongst all the men at the place. You know, oh, look at these sisters, blah, blah, blah. Of course, you know, they didn't say sisters, but it is what it is. And my man, Steve, he was the one dude that stood in the corner and says, he says to me, he says, you know, he says, I like the way they look. I think they're gorgeous, but I can't relate. I said, what do you mean, man? He says, I can't relate. I says, I don't understand. He was like, you got to understand, I grew up around predominantly white people. Everywhere we went, I lived in Germany. You understand? I lived in Russia at one time. All my life, I've lived around white people, so I really can't relate. See, I didn't understand that at that particular time because I was a little bit younger. But as I grew older, I can understand, and that's why I'm giving you the context that I'm giving you now. You brothers and sisters who are black nationalists, who think that it's black nationalism and it's productive for you to just sit behind a keyboard and call somebody a coon all day, all night. I'm not saying that this sister is not a coon, but what I am saying to you is this. You and I, we have much more of an application to the coon title or the coon word because we are black, we are from the ghetto, and if we turn on our people, we ain't got no excuse. For a person like that that have grown up in that environment, those are the people that you got to turn your back on and just say the hell with. Because there's no way they ever going to relate. There's no way they ever going to see nothing the way we see anything. And the only way, even if they were to come over and try to get some of our culture and try to understand some of the things that we went through, at the end of the day, do you know the way they're going to see us? Do you know the way they're going to see us? At the end of the day, they're going to see us as you people go through that. And my people go through this. We'll be back. Intend to be. Keyword being, because if you know who you are and you know yourself, then you know who you intend to be. But if you have no idea and you don't even have a context of who you intend to be, then we shouldn't even expect you to know. We shouldn't even expect you to participate, and we should expect you to say the kind of thing that you say. Because if your dad ended up marrying a white woman, and your dad did everything he could to hide himself inside that woman, her culture, and her nation, then we shouldn't even expect you to come out and be a child. If you were to come out and be a child that spoke pro-black and spoke the same stuff that you hear in the conscious community, that would be actually icing on the cake and close to a miracle. But for you to come out and say the crusty conservative cracker stuff that you say, to me, it's par for the course. It's par for the course. The dictionary, brothers and sisters, says, get on my nerves with this garbage. The dictionary says, curious is eager to acquire knowledge, inquisitive, prying. Curious is also strange and singular. But you know what I want to deal with? I want to deal with eager to acquire knowledge. See, you and I, brothers and sisters, for us to be who we're going to be, for us to do what we're going to do, we really got to be a lot more curious about the topics that's being shared. We have to delve deeper into these topics and see it for what it is. I am not letting that sister off the hook, but what I am saying is that that sister is a picture into a certain people and a certain mentality segment amongst us that we need not bother with. It has nothing to do with her skin color. It has nothing even really to do with the fact that she is half white. What it has to do with is how she was raised, how she thinks, and the whole culture around her. And to me, we don't have a lot of time to waste trying to build a nation and reconstruct high black society. So the people that you should focus on should at least be somebody qualified. My dad, I'm getting off my subject here, but my dad said to me, he said, "You know, son, when you open up your business," which my business is open now, he said, "you got to make people qualify to be your customer. You got to make sure that these people, you know, are able to buy from you, because some people can't be your customer." Now, I know that that sounds crazy to some of you who are not in business, and you say, "Anybody's giving me money should be out my customer." But wait a minute. What if somebody's your customer and it takes 6 months to pay you? What if somebody's your customer and they give you, you know, everything you need up front, but they don't give you the second half of your payment? What if the person that's your customer, when you use that, they use your services, they get them and they pay handsomely, but then they complain and they're always trying to get extras? You see what I'm trying to say? Not everybody could be your customer. In the same way, not everybody can be about land, infrastructure, and nationhood. So think on that for a second, brothers and sisters. Think on that for a second. Hold on a second. 13 Revolution on BAI Radio. Did you want to say something?
It's Mac.
Oh, peace, Mac. Peace. Let me get this segment over. And then I'll, did you want to say something right now? Or
No. Whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. All right, brother. Thanks for your support, man. Love you, man. I'll bring you back in a second.
No problem.
All right, so... so let's talk about what people – okay, never mind. I'll get into that. Okay, so land. Okay, so you have decided that you want nationhood. You decided that you want a nation of your own. Whether your nation that you want is America, whether it's Africa, whether it's Australia, whether it's in the island, some people say Haiti or Jamaica is better. Some people say South America is better. Some people even say Canada is better. Wherever it is, the place that you want your nation to be, what is your first step? Your first step is going to be the acquisition of land to get land. Because if you don't have land, if you just plan to go someplace, you there and you assimilating, that's not nationhood. If you plan to go live in somebody's country, rent out some damn buildings, some rooms, or even buy property in their country and just fly your flag, that is not nationhood, okay? You have got to go all the way. If you're going to be a bear, you got to be a grizzly, which means that you got to acquire land, settle on that land, build an infrastructure on that land, fly your flag, and then you have nationhood. Not a damn second before, and not a day before you actually do this and decide it, period. So the question is, what country is abundant in land that's available for you? Okay, that's question number one. Question number two, how are the people indigenous on that land, how do they act to foreigners? Okay, now, you know, there's this whole talk about, oh, you go to Africa, the people don't like foreigners, they don't like African Americans, and the next thing. That is not accurate, it's not true. Yes, there is many different countries in Africa that don't like foreigners, but there's also countries that do want foreigners and is begging for black people, specifically from America, to come over and help them rebuild their country. But you're not going to focus on that because you've seen a couple of videos anyway, either way. The question once again is, how are they to foreigners? Okay, do they want to build with foreigners? Do they want to assist foreigners? Do they want to help foreigners? And I would say to you, if you're going to say that Africa don't want to deal with people, what the hell is the Chinese over there doing? Is they just over there twiddling their thumbs in the jungle or something? Or are they building over there and extracting resources, B? Okay? So you got to be a little bit more open-minded to expanding your horizons and doubling your opportunity to live a better life, not just here, but having an alternative and a place to do trade with. And so the question next is, what language do they speak? And again, I don't give a damn if you want to do it in America, South America, Australia, which I heard some people say, you understand, Africa, Canada, wherever it is, what language do they speak? And finally, when you get that land, what would you be looking to do on that land? And with who? With who? And once you answer these questions, then we got to fit this other dynamic into that. And you know what that dynamic is? Were you planning to bring Sage Steele over there with you, wherever you was going? I don't think you heard that question. Was you planning to take Sage Steele, men and women like Sage Steele, to that nation that you were going to build, whether it was another country or whether it was here in America? And I guarantee you that most of y'all, your answer is no. So don't y'all know any better at this point? Don't y'all know any better? What the hell would this woman or people who think like her, what would they help you do? Because based on your background, based on your rugged, bellicose background, listen to me, brothers and sisters, this is not long. We talking real talk here. Based on my, your, our rough ghetto background, what in the world would Sage Steele, Herman Cain, Charles Barkley, and anybody like that that talks that redneck cracker Republican stuff, what the hell would they help you do if you was building a nation? What would they help you do? And more importantly, in any place that you acquire land and you're going to build something, your allies have to get a look at the people that's down with you, right? And when your allies get a look at the people that's down with you and you trot Sage out, how you think that's going to play out? As my dad always says, how you think that one's going to cook down? When you trot Sage out, how's that going to work? I'd be willing to put money on it. As a Muslim, I don't bet, but I'd be willing to put money on it. It's not going to go too well, B. It's going to be very offensive. It's going to be very hypercharged. People are going to be angry. Sweat's going to be coming out of people's collars. It's not going to go well. And so, therefore, if you can't bring her or people like her to do what you're trying to do, why are we talking about it? Why are we talking about it? Why are we breaking it down? Why are we making an entire half hour, 2 hour? Like, I see all of these shows, these morning shows, they all talking about Sage. And I'm sitting there like, are y'all serious, B? I don't get it. So here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Again, what would this woman help you do? So let me just say this to you, and then I'm close this segment, play some music, bring Mac in, or play a clip and bring Mac in, and we're gonna go a little further, okay? Brothers and sisters, listen. Land is to be harvested. Land is to be harvested. It's to be cultivated, and then it is to be built on, in that order. And I say again, just in case you didn't hear it, and you don't hear nothing I say today, land is to be harvested, it is to be cultivated, and harvested, then to be built on top of. And if you don't have a plan for that, then what is the end game is more likely than not a question that you haven't asked yourself yet, and that's okay. But after you hear this show, it's not okay. Let me read this to you. At the end of the later Han Dynasty, Liu Te of the Kingdom of Shu occupied San Yang. Thrice he went to request Zhuge Liang's strategic advice. Liang said, ever since Cheng Chao seized military power from the Han Emperor, the number of heroes and valiants that have appeared to bestride the provinces and unite the commanders is beyond counting. Compared with Wan Shao, Cao Cao had little fame and few troops. However, Cao Cao eventually subjugated Wan Shao by turning weakness into strength. It wasn't simply a question of seasons of heaven, but also have been due to human plans. I'm sorry, I'm freaking nose vision. Now that Cao has already gathered a mass of 1 million, constricting the emperor and thereby exerting command over the feudal lords, you certainly cannot directly confront his forces. You could take this however you want to. Meanwhile, Sun Quan's family has occupied the region east of the Yangtze, the domain of the Kingdom of Wu, for 3 generations. His kingdom's terrain is precipitous, the people are attached to the government, and the worthy are and able assist him. His kingdom can be considered a potential basis of support, but not an objective for the conqueror. The province of Qingqiao to the north occupies the Han region, and strategic advantages extend throughout the south coastal region, and its east connects to Wu and Hui, but the west it communicates with regions of Pa and Shu. Qingqiao is martial territory, but the ruler is unable to defend it. Heaven has apparently provided it for you as a resource. General, why not think about it? See, listen. Whether you got caught up in the Chinese Navy that you're going to say Minister Dao is teaching some gibberish and reading from something he don't understand, I could care less. This is all part of the artistic experience, but at the same time, that is real strategic talk. First of all, a harvest can be the difference between success and failure. And I say again, a harvest and harvesting can be the difference between success or failure. And if you don't have the land to harvest and you don't have the land to cultivate, then what ends up happening is if your enemy has land that he's harvesting and your enemy has land that he's cultivating, you are screwed, B. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That's number one. Number two, the bulk of the paragraph that I read, it talks about the value of people who are skilled, who have abilities, who have talents, who have a certain level of expertise. In other words, they call them worthies. How many worthies do you have down with you? And what is the dictionary definition of a worthy? Because the fact of the matter is this. If you and I, if we are so dull and such followers that all we're going to do is talk about a person like Sage, who definitely is not a worthy and is not worthy at all, then this nation will think we're in deep trouble, y'all. We in deep trouble. You think that Sage Steele was a worthy or people like her is a worthy? Judging from her background and how she was raised, that makes sense to you? You're going to tell me that a person that did not grow up in your paradigm, when you ask them, yo, have you ever heard Tribe Called Quest? And they say, who is that? You going to deal with them kind of people? When you say, yo, when I was younger, I listened to Keith Sweat and I listened to Trey Songz, and they say to you, I don't know who that is. Are you going to build with those kind of people? Because if you can't identify with them in any way, shape, or form, you know, brothers and sisters, I talk a lot about how, you know, we try to make a class struggle in my Extinction Agenda shows. But you want to know something, brothers and sisters? You don't want to know what people from the street culture, people from the college culture, and people from the professional culture all have in common? We all know what Jingle and Baby sounds like when it comes on. We all know when Roy Ayers comes on and Sunshine comes on. We all know what, you mean, like, you understand what I'm trying to say to you now? It's like you could have taken the street route. You could have taken the education route. You could have taken the business route. Whatever route that you took, there are certain cultural norms that we all know that a person from Sage's life and background would never know. And if that is the case with them, why are you sweating with them if they're not trying to build with you? I mean, if they're not trying to identify with you. When they say to you, when they use these talking points, we as black people need to look in the mirror, what does that sound like to you? That sounds like you listening to Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage. When they say black people are hypocritical, we got to own our stuff. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly. When they say things like, as a people, we are our own worst enemy, when you hear that, and when you say black people lack accountability and you hear that, who the hell do you think you're listening to? You are listening to, again, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, and Bill O'Reilly. And when you listen to that, that tells you everything about how they grew up. And you want to know what's funny? The white girls that grew up hanging around that black child, they don't think like that. But that black child is going to think like that because their father or mother that was black taught them that they have to do everything in their power to assimilate, to be accepted. In other words, for their blackness to disappear. And even if they hear the N-word, somehow you deserved it. And so when you're talking about building a nation because you felt all this anxiety, when your mom felt anger and sadness and it went into the womb and you came out a child. Now remember, brothers and sisters, You mean like when you're in the womb of a woman, there's certain emotions you don't feel yet, but there's certain emotions that you do feel. But either way, what your mom feels, you end up eventually feeling, and that goes into you, but that goes into your psyche also. So ask yourself this. If your mom and your dad grew up in the hood experience, which mine did, and most of the people that dealt with me did, and you're trying to relate to a person like Sage who damn sure didn't feel like that, how y'all going to connect? How y'all going to talk strategy? How are you going to talk tactics? How are you going to talk endgame? You see what I'm trying to say here today? See, what I say is the curious case of Stay Still. What I'm trying to say is that you and I, we are not digging deep enough into these topics, B. We're not digging deep enough into these topics, and that's why I had to come back to Blog Talk Radio, because everybody, not my people that's with me, but everybody that I see around me sharing memes and sharing topics on Facebook, you are scratching the surface. And to me, surface scratching is goddamn dangerous, because what it does is it contributes to the mumble rap, dumbed down commentary that we are used to today. And it doesn't take any courage for you to share a meme on Facebook and put three words to it, you understand? This person's a coon. That person is a clown. This person is this. This person is that. What kind of courage does that take? That doesn't take any courage. You got to dig deep and show me why that person's a coon. You got to dig deep and show me why that person's a clown. And you want to know something? When you dig deep as we're digging today, you will find out that you just scratched the surface and you're the goddamn clown. We'll be back.
Jump on this beat like this one here is for you, because I think you can relate to some of the shit I've been through. Fuck all the haters, if you hating, middle finger to you. It's time to give the people something they can relate to. See, I done been through a lot of shit. You can call me fatherless. Mama tried to raise me right, all she knew was Bible shit. Didn't have an education, victim of indoctrination. Started trying to raise myself, now I'm trying to raise a nation. Freeing one mind at a time. Holla if you feel me and you're feeling alright. I really like it when you're educated. Might like you a little more if you are melanated. Yeah, I'll admit it, I can be a little prejudiced. If you're feeling kinda sensitive, take a sedative. I am venomous with an elegance. Forgive me if I'm argumentative. Must be the adrenaline, that's irrelevant. Must be the intelligence, I'm irreverent. Just tired of settling. I'm a victim of the motherfucking system. Nah, let me switch it. I'm a motherfucking victor, a survivor. Use a liar if you think that I am not. Feel fire and I got a lot of bullets in this class. I am God, motherfucker.
That is my home girl. I know that chick. I know her. I know her personally. I love her so much. That's my own girl, Cat So Poetic. And that is one of my favorite songs that she's ever done. It's with this other dude named Clear Mind, who I just connected to, and he's fire also. But did you hear what was being said? I'm a victim of the system, is what she's saying. And she's saying, you know, victim of indoctrination, had to try to raise myself. I mean, if you listen to those lyrics, then that is, it couldn't be no more perfect to what the topic I'm talking about today. Before I bring Mac in, I just want to say, brothers and sisters, that BAIO, and specifically, but not excluded to me, Brother Minister Daoud, but BAIO, we have a few friends that the surface scratching doesn't apply to. You understand? Now, of course, In the Paint Radio is BAIO, so that doesn't count, because they're us, and they definitely don't scratch the surface. They go into depth. But you have Real Talk, the show Real Talk by my brother Joaquin Morgan, and they go really deep, man. Like, one day I listen to their show. See, it's one thing for me to endorse you because we homies. It's another thing for me to listen to your show and say, oh, shoot. And it was one day Brother Joaquin was on vacation, and they was going without him, and I was listening, and they was dealing with the subject. I forget which one it was, but I was like, damn, this dude is dealing. Like, he's really going into this. And that's the only kind of radio I get into, because if you just, you know, my brothers and sisters, the day for name-calling and criticism, you're an idiot as far as I'm concerned. Like, you don't really move me if all you're doing is name-calling and criticizing. Period. Period. And you really can't give any topic the full context on Facebook or social media, because it's not enough time and words, and people tune you out after they see two paragraphs, because it's a microwave generation. So if you come on a show and you can take a topic and you can dig deep into it. And this is why I had to take a break, because I didn't feel like I was going into it far enough. And I remember I started speaking to my younger me and listening to the younger me on 13 Revolution, and I realized, I said, I am doing BAIO an injustice. I'm not going as far in as I can. So I took time away, didn't read nothing, you know what I'm saying, didn't go into nothing, but just listen to a younger me. And it's going to take me a little bit of time, but as you can see, stuff is coming around a lot better than it used to. Anyway, it is my pleasure, my humble honor, to bring forward my brother, my cohort, my BAIO brother, Brother Max611. How you doing today, big brother?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Peace.
Peace, peace. You off?
Yeah. I got off work. I'm home. I do, you know, when you brought me in before, I was on the bus, so I didn't want to talk. But
I got you. So what's happening? What's on your mind?
Topic.
What do you think about the topic?
Great topic. We covered the male perspective of Sage Steele many times on my show in the persona of Tiger Woods. And
right,
like you've been saying, how could we bring this person around us? Tiger Woods doesn't want to be around us. Sage Steele, when I watch her on the show, on the shows that she was on,
mm-hmm.
she seemed very, very dry, you know,
mm-hmm.
really, really stiff, and you have her, Jalen Rose.
Right.
Who Jalen Rose is one. He could probably be one of us or be around us because of who he is and what he's doing, you know, outside of the parameters of what he's doing, because he has a school,
right.
And you know he's doing that work, and
right.
Just it's funny how we see people, and you know there's a disconnect. Because I've run into
mm-hmm.
people similar to Sage Steele. When I was in college, there was a girl named, I'm not going to say her name, but there was a girl at my college. She was from England. She
right.
was steadfast saying she was not black. She
wow.
said she was English. And we were like, that's not a race. You're black.
Right.
And lo and behold, she married a white man. And just getting
no
back...
doubt.
To what you were saying, we can never look at Sage Steele as one of us because she doesn't want to be one of us. And like you said, she's coming from a different perspective and how her family raised her. You
Indeed.
Know, her father wasn't strong, and especially when you have a any mixed race marriage, somebody has to conceive something.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? What do you think about, you know, because I think it's very true that, you know, you've been doing In the Paint for a lot of years. And brothers and sisters, if you don't know, my brother hosts his own radio sports show called In the Paint with my other brother, Big Brother R. And it comes on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays on Blog Talk Radio, In the Paint Radio. You can join the group on Facebook also. But you've been interviewed or had various different black people on your show. And you know
right.
full well there's always some way you can connect with them. You know what I'm saying? There's never a situation where you get somebody on your show and you mention something and they don't know what the hell you're talking about, like from childhood, right? So the thing
right.
is that you and I both know, though, if we got around Sage, what the hell could we talk about that she could connect to?
Right.
You know
right. And it's right. And it's funny. I think back to a relationship I had with a woman. And, you talk about the younger you. The younger me was looking for somebody that who can I roll with in the corporate world. And you know, I picked
uh-huh.
a certain woman, but we didn't. She was very intelligent, but we couldn't connect anywhere else.
Right.
You know,
right.
and outside of the physical anywhere, we couldn't connect spiritually. We couldn't connect mentally because. You know, I'm from the hood, but
right.
I'm a little, I always call myself hood-centered because I'm in the hood, but I'm not of the hood, you know.
Right.
Little grimy, a little dirty, but not totally dirty. So
right.
me and her could not
right.
connect. I couldn't connect with Sage Steele. just
me neither.
Watching her on TV, I was like, she's real fly. Does not appeal to me.
No. I'll be very honest, Mac, man. When I first seen her, I was like, man, this is beautiful. And I had, you know, how you
right.
have like the like a mini crush. I'm like, oh man, who is that? You know. And for me,
yep.
I don't necessarily like Sinner Sisters. You know what I'm saying? But nevertheless, she was off the charts. And I never heard her
yeah.
outside of her you know what I'm saying? I never heard her outside of her ESPN commentary. But here's what I do know, and I know you can lend to this because you've been in the media and also been in the fashion district. Like, to me, the people who do SportsCenter are generally the people congenial on TV, but they don't really have no personality. You understand?
Right.
So
right.
when I saw her doing stuff like SportsCenter and Countdown, I was like, oh, man, this is beautiful, but I know I ain't never going to see her have her own show because I'm pretty sure she ain't got no personality. So then
right.
when I started seeing her do the NBA shows, I was like, damn, she got less personality than I thought she had. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, to me, I don't know, brother. It's like, Dad, what are you going to say?
No, I was just laughing. I was laughing.
But real talk is like, you know, your childhood dream, she says her childhood dream was to be on ESPN. And so somehow, some way, she made her childhood dream. She wasn't an athlete. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't anything else. We don't see very many black women get that particular position. So more
right.
likely than not, with her resources, she pulled a couple of strings and she got there. But here's the one thing that I wanted to speak to, and I guess I'll bleed this into this conversation with me and you. The funny thing about it was is a lot of black people was very happy when she got dismissed from NBA Countdown. And
right.
you know what I'm saying? But the good brother Ish from Amon-Ra Squad had posted today that she, you know, basically fell into a better job being a co-host with Mike Greenberg from Mike and Mike. Now,
right.
outside of that, in a sports discussion, Mac, it is my position, and this is real talk, it is my position that move is for ESPN to have direct competition with Colin Cowherd over on Fox.
Right.
Because from what I understand, when he left ESPN, they did everything in their power to try to dead his career. They tried to tell radio stations to not have him on and all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, basically he's gone over to Fox and he's rebuilt his audience and has even greater audience over there than he had on ESPN. So they had to do something because they lost so many people. So now they got Mike Greenberg on the morning show, but they know Mike Greenberg is not enough of a personality to be there by himself. So they throw Sage
right.
Sage on there. But what is she going to do?
Nothing.
You know what I'm saying? What's she going to do?
You can't have, you know, you can't have two dry personalities. You
right.
know? It just can't be done. And when I started in the paint, Hollow said, you should do sports, Mark, because you always talk about sports. You continuously talk about sports. That's your lane. Do it.
Right.
So I did YouTube videos, but I didn't like the format of me just talking in the air. It wasn't comfortable. I needed someone
right, right.
to bounce off. So I met Rodney at my job, and I was like, yo, this brother's got a radio voice. And so,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a great personality, and I'm
right.
sort of monotone, and he's a little bit more vibrant than me, and that's why it works.
Right, 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 right,
with
right.
With us.
Right.
And then,
right.
and you know, and then you bring in Ivy, who her perspective and her being a woman, and just her. And
but not a blind woman at all.
No, not at all. An intelligent woman who can kick it amongst the guys, and that's
right.
why it works.
Right.
Sage is just, he's a dry personality. And when you watch the show with her and Jalen was basically carrying her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ESPN was smart to have a Jemele Hill. Jemele Hill can hang with me and you and R. You
right.
know, just
right.
based off of her vibe and her personality. She's more to what we are familiar with. And that's why her, their show works. And I like her show. And I like her personality.
Right. Me too. Me too. It took a while to get it took a while to get to the point where she was talking without like stuttering over words. I think she was always nervous. But once she overcame that hump, you know, she, and plus she's beautiful, so you know what I'm saying? For me, it's a full package. I like the dude that she does it with. I think it's Michael Smith, I'm not sure, the brother there.
Yeah.
I know it's Mike something, but I don't know what his last name is. But what you call it? So I guess my last question, last topic I want to broach over you is this. So now, looking at the whole thing where she was dismissed from one position and rehired in another position, you know what's going to happen when that starts getting around the quote-unquote conscious community. They're going to be like, oh, man, this queen got another job, this, that, and next thing. But the problem is I think black people don't understand infrastructure, because sports and the media is an infrastructure. And you know what I'm saying? Sage Steel is already a assimilated part of their infrastructure that is already built.
Mm-hmm.
So even if she didn't work for ESPN, most of us thought she was eventually going to get a Fox News job because she's the kind of person that they like. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But ESPN was like, nah, you're one of ours. You belong to us. You're our property. And we'll let you continue to run our infrastructure. Because to me, it looks like, and this will take this the wrong way, but I don't really mean no disrespect by saying this. But in my industry, being electronic security, they have what you call, and forgive me for what I'm about to say, but this is the industry name. They call them booth bimbos. And what this is basically is super duper pretty women that they put at the booths of various different cameras and access control panels, whatever, just to attract you to come over to the booth. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like,
right.
So ESPN, from what I see, then got rid of all of their strong personalities, got rid of all the people that everybody has bonded to, and now they have some dudes there, but they got a whole lot of pretty women. You understand? And,
right.
You know, one or two of these sisters is good, but some of these, you know, it's a lot of white women, though. There's only, like, a couple of sisters. But they all bland. Every last one of them. Even that sister that dude go gaga over, that Kari Champion, she ain't nobody.
Yeah.
Exactly. To me, I just think that, what's it called? I really just think that people don't understand infrastructure, because that is the key point of our whole nationhood conversation that we be having, is that, you know, we're trying to build an infrastructure so that you as a man or you as a black woman, you could come into it and you don't have to worry about us looking at you as just a piece of meat or us looking at you as just a pretty face. You can come in and you can rise up according to your merit. You can rise up according to your talent and your ability, and you don't have to worry about that. That's what we're trying to build. But as long as you have faith in the white man's infrastructure, you are going to see stuff like this where they're just going to put women out according to how they look, and they could dismiss you. No matter, I mean, say you've still been 30 ESPN for like 10 years now, and just to be dismissed from Countdown for no reason from Michelle Beadle, and we both know, Mac, Michelle Beadle is whack as hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, whack as hell, and don't even look good. So, like, I don't know. I guess I'm long-winded with my question, but I just want you to speak to that.
But let me speak on Michelle Beadle. She's also a hypocrite. I mean, you go in on Floyd Mayweather for his situation, but you sit down to do a show with Stone Cold Steve Austin, the wrestler, who's beat four of his wives. But you have a problem, but you dog out Floyd Mayweather. Then
you also,
what's the guy from boxing? One of the announcers from
Bill O'Reilly?
No, it's one of the boxing announcers. Jim Lampy, another guy. He dogged Floyd Mayweather out for his situation. He has two domestic abuse cases himself.
Wow.
You know,
and
right. So they dogged out Floyd for his situation. Michelle Beadle says she's against, you know, domestic abuse. But you're sitting with these guys who have multiple domestic abuse cases. So you're a hypocrite. And like you said, she ain't no better than Sage Steele. I see they added Chauncey Billups. her and Jalen Rose, that's to add the flavor because she has none and they have to carry her.
Word.
And
word.
And I was thinking about this today. Tiki Barber, another dude I couldn't hang out with, couldn't roll out with.
Yep.
He couldn't do TV because he was corny and dry. He found his niche somewhat in radio.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Strahan has the career he wanted.
Right.
Michael
right.
Strahan, and I give Michael Strahan his props because he worked. He worked hard at the craft, and you know, he was never a dry personality.
Right.
And certain people who are, they're dry, I'm just calling for what they are. They're corny.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And you can't
exactly.
overcome corniness. You know, Sage Steele was always corny. Whether,
mm-hmm.
whether you know, regardless of whether she grew up in a black neighborhood or a white neighborhood or a mixed neighborhood, she was just corny. Tiger
mm-hmm.
Woods is just corny.
Yep.
Tiki Barber is just corny. Those are just corny
mm-hmm.
people. Michael Strahan's an army brat. It's certain people who are army brat people. They know how to move around and, I'm going to use the word you use, they know how to assimilate. And they know
right,
how to
right, right.
gravitate and navigate their situation. Those other people, they just corny. They only know how to navigate in one arena. Like myself, I can sit in a room full of business people. I can sit in a room with some thugs. Or
mm-hmm.
I can sit in a room with some bohemian people sipping on tea. And that's
hmm.
just me.
Right, right, right. Me too.
And I'm always myself.
I guess you learn that after a while.
What'd you say?
Right. That's, I guess you learn that after a while if you're attentive to it.
Right, right. Plus, you know, you are always yourself. You are always Minister Dawood. I'm always Mac, whether
right.
I'm sitting, whatever situation I'm sitting in, I'm always going to be me.
Right. Indeed. Indeed. You know, brother, it's like, I mean, I hope that, because I'm going to listen to the show again, but I felt really good doing it, so I think that I really touched it the way I wanted to. But what I really wanted
mm-hmm.
to show people was that, you know, you can have fun. I mean, because we all do have fun singling out somebody, calling them a coon, this, that, and next thing, they can't be down with us. But that
right.
terminology has gotten so overused that I think that we lose perspective over the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that, you know, let me just put it this way. When I was younger in the nation, I remember the word that was being thrown around a lot was hypocrite. This guy was a hypocrite,
right.
that guy was a hypocrite. And these were people who were in the nation that left us. You know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it was being thrown around a lot. And my minister, who always thought outside the box, said, listen, you have more of a chance of being a hypocrite than that person that left. And then when I first heard that, I thought that was plumb crazy. I was like, what? But as I began to explain it and I began to think about it, it's true. You are more of a candidate to be a hypocrite if you're in nationhood, if you're in, you know what I'm saying, a black nationalist paradigm, but you ain't really practicing it, you don't really believe in it, and you're doing things contrary to nationhood. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Totally understand.
You understand? It's like, you know, if like for instance, if you understand, if LeBron James was to be coming to every place that he went out, he had the Golden State Warriors hat on and Golden State Warriors jersey on. You mean like, you understand? You'd be like, yo, LeBron, like, that's some sucker stuff. You're a hypocrite. But a person
right.
that left the Cavaliers and they went to Golden State, yeah, we could say that they were suckers and, you know what I'm saying, that they, you know, they joined the enemy team, but they don't play for them no more. And after a while, you get over
mm-hmm.
that. To me, the term coon more so applies to those of us who grew up in the ghetto paradigm. We was abused by white people in school. We was abused by them by the police. We understood that, right. You know, we had to become a certain person in order for us to get jobs. So we know what it is, Mac. You know what I'm saying? For you to call
right.
somebody that grew up in their paradigm, their culture, and their infrastructure is a waste of breath to me, because they don't even know. You mean, like I said before, I know I keep using LL as an example, but, Mac, when you play Jingling Baby, I'm going to have memories and you're going to have memories. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when you play that song around Sayersville, she ain't going to know what the hell you're playing. She's going to say, is that Busta Rhymes? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What is going on? It's like, yo, I remember talking to this girl when I was younger. And you know, this is the pre-Minister Devil, so don't kill me if y'all listening to this. And she was from that kind of paradigm. And one day we just started talking, and oh, my God, I'm telling the story out of here. But one day we were talking, and I was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Do you know who Tribe Called Quest is? And she was like, who's that? And that was the end of the date, end of the relationship, end of the conversation. That's real talk.
There you go.
I said, because if you don't know them, what are we going to talk about?
Right, right. That's similar to the young lady I was talking about. I couldn't play certain, you know, she couldn't relate to Ice Cube.
Right. I wish we had Hollipin on this conversation. But anyway, all right, my brother, I'm gonna try to see if these other people want to talk, and I'm gonna end this. Thank you very much for calling, man.
No doubt.
I'm definitely gonna be there tonight. What are we talking about tonight, anyway?
Charles Barkley, the New York Knicks dysfunction, and Eli Manning getting, you know, how squeaky is Eli Manning, and, you know, he's selling bogus game gear.
Yo, that was actually true?
Yeah, but I think what it is that he just wanted to, he was probably, well, me not even say he was probably tired, but, you know, they ask athletes to do a lot of stuff. We want a jersey that you wore in Game 5 in 1988. So he's like, I don't have that. So he goes and gets an alternative, and I'm going to sign it. You give it to him, say I wore it.
Right.
And,
oh, man.
But that's still bad, though.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. It always seems amazing. It never seems amazing how these people would be signing these $100 million contracts and still be doing crooked stuff, man. Are y'all gonna talk about Aaron Hernandez though?
I want to talk about that Friday because I'm still reading stuff on that.
Okay, cool. Okay, I got you.
But if you want to talk about him tonight, if you want to mention him, that's not a problem. You know, if you want
okay. Okay, cool. All right, let me see about these other calls, and I'm gonna get out of here. All right, big brother, thank you for calling in. Love you. And
all right,
I'll be speaking to you in half an hour.
Love you too, brother. Great show.
Peace. Thank you. Peace. Caller from the 708. Did you want to say something? Hello. I guess not. And caller from Skype, did you want to say something?
No, sir. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Can I ask who this is?
Yes, sir. This is Brother Tyler. I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, okay. Peace, big brother. How you doing?
I'm well, brother. And yourself?
I'm fantastic, brother. I'm fantastic. Do you did you get the gist of what I'm trying to say today?
You know something, brother, I happen to be scrolling through Blog Talk Radio. I saw the title because I actually follow your channel or your show, and I happened to be scrolling through. I didn't get a reminder that the show was coming on, and I came in late. I came in, I think it said something like 10 minutes left or something like that, and I just pretty much listened to the conversation you and the brother were having, you know. But, I came in late, and I really don't have any input as of right now.
Okay, fantastic. All right, then, brother. Well, thank you anyway for your support, big brother. I will be back probably on Sunday talking about the Muslim judge sister that got murdered, even though they said that she committed suicide. because yes, I think there's an underlying issue with that. Not necessarily the murder of that judge, but the fact that, you know, that's a sister, to make a long story short, that's a sister that was a Muslim, which I am also, but she swore in on the Bible, and she basically presided over cases with her head uncovered. And for myself, that's what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that as a black man or black woman in America, for you to be successful and go to the highest height, you really can't be yourself. And
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? To me, that's problematic because we don't own nothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't know if you were aware of this, Big Brother, but I think that she was married to a brother who was a Muslim, and I think that she, from what I read, now I could be incorrect, but from what I read, she decided to keep the name, which is Abdul Salam. She decided to keep that name. So I don't know if she was actually a practicing Muslim. It's kind of contradictory, though, to have a Muslim name or an Islamic
right.
name and you're not actually practicing the faith or the deen. So I'm not really sure,
right.
brother. I don't know if she was actually an active and practicing Muslim. But what I read was that she kept the name after she and her first husband, who was a Muslim, from my understanding, after they divorced. Now, I don't know if her husband and her were followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad or not, but I know that it did indicate that her husband was a Muslim. But also I wanted to add that there's a brother in Chicago, Judge Miles, who was murdered. And that story has been very fluid. I'm originally from Chicago, and I've been following that story
right.
with a close eye. And it's been that story has changed. I mean, initially when it happened or after it happened, it was indicated that robbery was not a motive. This was before they actually apprehended the so-called person of interest. They said that robbery mm-hmm. was not a motive because nothing was stolen. And allegedly,
right.
they said that the young lady who was shot, as well as the judge, that she didn't know the assailant. But now that whole story has changed. Now they're saying robbery is a motive, and that quite possibly the young lady who has been identified as the judge's girlfriend, that she did in fact know one of the assailants, because allegedly there are two assailants. So I'm just sitting back, brother. I'm watching the whole thing with the judge in New York and also with the judge in Chicago. You know, it's just something is just kind of unsettling, man, about both of those situations.
Indeed, big brother. Well, hey, listen, thank you for putting me on to that. I'm gonna now go and do a lot more reading on it, because I definitely want to find a little bit more about, a lot more about the Chicago situation. But before I go on the air with my thoughts on that sister, I do want to know if she ever practiced, if she was practicing and just trying to blend in, or that was just a name, because that would kind of change my whole topic and I'd have to choose somebody else. But either way, thank you very much for what you've added, brother. I mean, I really appreciate it. I hope that you come back.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
That's going to do it for this week, brothers and sisters. Thank you very much for tuning in. Tune in next week, and we will have something more for you, trying to go a little bit deeper here. As I came before, at the Sense on Soul with the Green Words Peace, assalamu alaikum.
Yo, whoa, what are you doing?
This Furman speaks of a Pharisee knows nothing about.
That is true.
He has no respect.
That is also true.
Hold on.
Keep calling me Furman, tough guy. You just want to laugh at me like everyone else.
Rocket, you're drunk, all right? No one's laughing at you.
He thinks of some stupid thing.
He does.
Well, I didn't ask to get made. I didn't ask to be torn apart and put back together over and over and turned into some little monster.
Rocket, no one's calling you a monster.
He called me vermin. She called me rodent. Let's see if you can laugh after five or six good shots.
No. 4 billion units. Rocket, come on, man. Hey, suck it up for one more lousy night in your bitch. Fine. But I can't promise when all this is over I'm not going to kill any last one of you jerks.
See, that's exactly why none of you have any friends. 5 seconds after you meet somebody, you're already trying to kill them.